Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the hard way. And we're going to be taking your calls on having what you want in any area of your life. The number is to call 866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. I wanted to set the table with a... This happened kind of recently. I wrote a tip about it, but a potential client had called me, and they were, when I asked them what they wanted, they said they wanted me to support them in manifesting a wonderfully fit and healthy body. And I think one of the reasons they were interested in that is they knew that, you know, one of the things I write about and You Can Have What You Want and I teach in all my workshops is, you know, I'm not a big fan of no pain, no gain as a philosophy. I'm a big fan of no pain, no pain. You know, it's not that, you know, you have to avoid pain at all costs. It's just that suffering doesn't get you bonus points, and it usually doesn't get you where you want to go any quicker or make there a more attractive place to be. So what I pointed out to this person on the phone was, I said, you know, sometimes being willing to do things in what seems like the hard way can be a more direct path to success. And I'm someone who teaches effortless success. I teach things like the easy way to success. But sometimes, just sometimes, the hard way is easier. So I shared some examples, some of my favorite examples. You probably know Jackie Chan. Now, Jackie Chan is a comedy actor, kung fu, and I didn't really realize, but as well as the movies he's known for over here, he directed and starred in over 50 martial arts films in China. And so I was on the road doing some teaching, and I was flicking around the TV, and there was this documentary about the work of Jackie Chan, and I thought, this is great. I'm going to watch this. And because one of the things I'd always wondered is how martial artists do all the stunts that they do. And all the fighting that they do without getting hurt. And here's the secret, because they did reveal the secret of how this works. They do get hurt. And I'm watching this documentary, and I watch people break bones. I watch this guy jump off a bus onto a car and miss and get knocked unconscious. They showed a scene from Rush Hour where Jackie Chan, if you remember, I think it might have been Rush Hour 2, where he jumps and grabs onto this banner, and the banner tears, and he slides down from like the fifth story down to the ground, you know, and I'd wondered how he did it. Well, he fainted 4 times before actually completing the stunt. Now, despite that, you know, you might tell, well, that sounds stressful. Well, no, he seems to love it, and he seems to continue to develop new and outrageous stunts and create movie magic on a regular basis. Going from movies to sport, Kobe Bryant, I'm a Laker guy now, which is heresy because I grew up in Boston and, well... What can I say? But Kobe Bryant, a lot of people think of him as the greatest basketball player currently playing the game. And I remember reading about him, and that in 2002, he tied a league record by shooting 12 three-point baskets in one game, which is the hardest shot to make by most accounts in basketball. Now, what made that all the more remarkable was that before 2002, he was considered a very mediocre outside shooter. Great player, but mediocre at that particular shot. Well, so how did he do it? Well, every day... In practice, between the offseason before 2002, he took 1,000 long-range three-point shots. And, gee, the fruit of doing that, oh, I don't know, 90,000 times, was that he was able to make these amazing shots in the game. Again, he did it the hard way to make it look easy. The third story that I'd like to use to illustrate it, and I've always been told that this is Eugène-Henri Paul Gauguin. And Gauguin, I think. He's considered by many to be one of the greatest painters of the 19th century. And the story is that even when he was developing his unique style, he'd spend weeks at a time recreating the paintings of some of his contemporaries. And when a friend asked him, why would he spend all his time copying someone else's art instead of creating his own, he said, when I look at their paintings, they appear to have been created by magic. But I know that if I can recreate them, they were created by a human being. And that gives me hope and the energy to carry on with my own work. So what does this all have to do with us? So again, numbers to call to get on the show, 866-254-1579, toll free, 866-254-1579. In the midst of your pursuit of effortless success, of having what you want and applying the law of attraction, I find it really useful from time to time to ask yourself this question. And I apologize in advance if you find this question offensive, but it really isn't. if metaphysics, positive thinking, and the law of attraction were all a load of crap, are you doing the things that would be likely to create the results you want to see in your life? Now, please know, I'm not saying that those things are a load of crap. They're not. I'm not saying the way you think and the energy you put out into the universe doesn't matter. As far as I can tell, it does matter. But what I have seen is that when people start to think that the only way they can unlock the door to success is to visualize it and affirm it as open, they sometimes forget to check if the door was ever really locked in the first place. And as I said to this client, who did turn out to be a client in the end, you know, manifesting a wonderfully fit and healthy body might actually be harder than just eating better and exercising more. So we'll talk more about doing things the hard way to make success easier. But let's talk to you. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Alicia in McAllen, Texas. Alicia, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Hi. Yes, I have a problem. I definitely don't want to have, I don't have what I want right now. I've been teaching 7 years, haven't ever wanted to teach, but it was a 2-year program I was in, and I kept that commitment for 2 years and then kind of got stuck. Mm-hmm. And I also don't live in the area I want to live. So And I'm also the only one who pays my bills. I live alone. So my question is really, how do I decide if now is a good time to find a new career and sell my house and move and relocate? And if not now, when? Because I'm getting pretty tired of doing this.
Okay, so the way that you do that is by realizing that it's the wrong question.
Okay.
Because the right time implies that there's some sort of cosmic map, and that we could look at the cosmic map and go, okay, at 2:30 on Thursday, everything would be perfect for you to do it. But if you do it at 2:45, you're screwed.
Right.
Life doesn't really work that way. But we act as if we think that it does. You know, we try and make the right decision, not realizing that so much of what will make it a decision that we look back on as a good decision, or a decision that we look back on as a bad decision, is what we do after we've decided. So here's a different question. If you could, I'm not saying you can't, but if you could, would you do it now? Would you make that change now?
I would do it now in a heartbeat.
Okay, great.
For me, the hardest part is being a teacher, and I don't want to teach forever, but if I can't find a new career, then I need to keep my contract. And there's a certain amount of time you can get out of your contract. And I need a job. So it's the timing. It's before a certain date in June, I need to have this all figured out. In my mind, that's how I feel.
Okay.
So I want it,
but I just don't know
how to get it.
Here's your challenge, should you choose to accept it. Would you be willing to do everything that you would do as if you're going to leave in June, and then leave the decision until June? In other words, there's nothing to say that you can't find some other thing to do, get everything set up, and then decide not to and keep the contract you've already got.
That's true.
So, in other words, you know, we all do this, right? We sort of try and force the choice because we're not comfortable not knowing. But there's really no need to do that. You know, you can absolutely pursue it full on. I don't mean sort of see kind of casually. I mean, go for it as if you had to leave in June. But also knowing that if for whatever reason, between now and then, you get a clear signal, actually, you know what? I don't want to do it like this. You haven't actually risked anything.
Okay. That's good, because really what I need is a plan of action. And now I know.
Yeah, go for it.
Towards what I want, at least I'm not. I kind of felt like I was living in a dream world with everything going on in the economy, and especially with my house, not having a lot of equity and all that,
You were living in a dream world, but not because you thought it might be possible, because you simply weren't out there finding out.
Okay.
You know, I don't know either, but boy, I bet you can have some fun figuring it out. And one of the things that I know is that when people think they want something and they start to move towards it, if they really want it, it actually gets more exciting. And if it turns out that it was just like an escape fantasy, well, I hate this, that sounds better, then actually as they start to move towards what they thought they wanted, it doesn't get more. It kind of deadens.
Okay, that's a perfect way of seeing it, because that's definitely what I'm doing.
Perfect. All right, so go forth. Go for it. And let us know. Call us back closer to June. Let us know what you've decided.
Okay, hopefully good news. Thank you very much.
Well, it'll be good news either way. That's the trick.
Okay. All right. That's true.
Thanks,
Thank
Alicia.
You.
Bye. Bye-bye. You know, and that's the thing is, so often we don't make a decision because we get stuck trying to make the right decision. And one of the things, plug for, new book. My new book, Supercoach, is just out in the UK. I think you can get it through the radio station, but if not, you can certainly get it through amazon.co.uk or through my website at geniuscatalyst.com. And I share sort of 10 secrets that I use with my clients that really make a huge difference in the way that they live their lives. And one of them is that, you know, the impact of the decision that you make is nothing like, is almost negligible in contrast to the impact of what you do with the consequences of that decision. So in other words, we spend a whole lot of time trying to get the decision right, not realizing that 9 times out of 10, you can set it up in a way that you can change your mind later. And it's no big deal. And it takes the risk. And I remember we were interviewing the billionaire Philip Green, researching a book on wealth. And he was talking about this deal that he was involved in that was, I'm going to make the numbers up, but they were numbers that I went, wow, that's a big number. That he bought like a $9 million, I think it was actually $90 million apartment complex in South America, sight unseen, hadn't done a survey on it, hadn't gone down there. And we were like, well, that sounds awfully risky. And he said, not really, because he knew the land was worth at least $80 million without anything on it. So even if the apartments turned out to be, you know, absolutely useless, he was actually only risking $10 million. Now, that might be a lot to you and I, but for where he was in his business, that was a risk worth taking to get what was, you know, a really good bargain. And it's funny, when you look at the decisions that you think, I've got to get this right, if you look at what's really at stake, you'll realize that, as I say, 9 times out of 10, you can just change your mind later, or you can set it up in a way where you don't need to decide in order to find out what you really want to do. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Flora in L.A. Flora, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
How are you, Michael?
I am well.
Good. I'm in a multi-level marketing company, and I really believe in the product. I love everything about it, but I still get my doubts because I'm relying on other people to build my business. And I'm just wondering how to get past that kind of thinking.
Okay, how to get past that kind of thinking. Say, give me an example.
Give you an example? Well, we do build the team with other people that should be doing the same thing that I'm doing in terms of bringing associates on board or selling the product. And so my revenue depends on what their efforts are.
Okay.
So,
I guess what I'm not clear on is it some thinking that you want to get past, or is it some action that you want to change?
Well, I would say both.
Okay, so in keeping with our theme of the hard way, let's look at the action part. Not because action is actually harder than thinking. Often it's easier, but it feels harder when we think about it. So what would be the action that you would like to change?
For myself or for them?
For yourself, because unless you've got some weird powers like X-Men kind of freaky stuff, you can't control their actions.
Right. Well, my actions, I think, are good. I am diligent about working the business, and I'm doing it consistently. So I think that's fine, but yet, as I mentioned, the revenues that I get depends on other people building it as well, and that's not happening. So that's where the insecurity comes in about what I'm doing.
Okay, so it sounds to me, when I've got a business question like this, I like to bring in Business Robot. And Business Robot is an imaginary, sadly, robot that has been programmed by all the great business minds throughout time, to look at business situations without emotion. Now, contrary to what most people think, Business Robot, that doesn't mean Business Robot is ruthless, because actually ruthlessness doesn't work so well in most businesses, because most businesses involve people. It just means it's non-emotional. So if Business Robot was looking at the situation, The first thing that strikes me, and I'll be interested, if you hang out with us over the break, because we're coming up on a break, then I'd like to get, I'll ask you over the break to think about what would Business Robot do. But the first thing that occurs to me is that, you know, if Business Robot was looking at that, he would say, well, no, if the business, if in order to make money in this business, I need my team to make money, then my job is to find ways of effectively coaching my team to make money. Or recruiting people who don't need that kind of coaching. And any of the other stuff that I might do is nice, but that's not really what is required for the business. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so here's what I'd like you to do. We're coming up on a break. Over the break, I want you to just take a couple minutes and just jot down your thoughts. What would Business Robot do? If Business Robot was in charge, how would Business Robot run the business? And we're going to pick up with that when we come back, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, we're going to be back with more of Flora, more of Business Robot, more of how to do things the hard way in a really kind of easy, fun way right after this break.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about doing things the hard way in a way that actually works. And we're talking with Flora. So, Flora, welcome back. What I asked you before the break what Business Robot would do if he came into your business right now. What did you get?
Well, just saying Business Robot to me, like you mentioned, there's no emotions there. So in that sense, it just means to do what you normally do and don't worry about what others are doing, because obviously you can't control what they're doing, and just continue to do things on a repetitive basis, on a continuous basis.
Okay, and if you did that, would that lead to success fairly inevitably?
Well, yes, because then you're looking, for example, it's a numbers game.
Okay,
so, great. Yes.
Okay, fantastic. So how does that feel, you know?
Well, that feels, yeah, and that is usually my thinking. But then I guess there are days when you have doubts.
I'm going to guess it's you that have the doubts. But so here's the thing. Here's the thing about doubts. Okay, and belief and doubts. I once wrote to a client. They wrote back, I'm not sure I have enough belief. And I wrote back, belief is just doubt with a smiley face in the O. Right? If you're running your business based on belief or doubt, that means that you probably don't have a good enough plan or you're not taking enough action. In other words, there's a difference between belief and faith. Okay, faith is a sense, a knowing, maybe even a certainty that whatever happens, things will work out for the best, that it will be okay. Hope is living in a possibility, a sense that tomorrow can be better than today, that whatever's happened up until now, tomorrow could be different. Tomorrow could be better. But belief is where you're trying to convince yourself that it's going to work. And that's not only hard to maintain, it's not very useful. Because the reality is whether or not it works isn't down to your level of belief. It's down to what you do and what happens in response and how you respond to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I really didn't understand those distinctions before, but yeah, I can see that now.
You know, so I'm a big fan of hope, I'm a big fan of faith, but belief in the sense that we're talking about it here, that people say, you just got to believe, you know, maybe to get through a basketball game, but not to live a life or run a business. Because it's the kind of thing that you can sustain for an hour, but we're not designed to sustain that kind of artificial, I mean, basically, you know, trying to convince ourselves that we know the future. You know, last time I checked, with the exception of some of the people who work on this station, we don't. But that doesn't so much matter because we're creating it.
So action is what counts.
The action is what counts. And again, that's not to say that, you know, putting out positive energy is not going to make a difference. It's not to say that visualizing success won't inspire you. But if you did that all day and didn't do anything, my experience is not that much happens. So let me ask you, last question. Okay, from where you are right now, do you want to move forward at least for the next month?
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Thanks for phoning in.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, Flora. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I remember talking to a client And he was struggling with a sort of a high-risk, high-reward project at work, and he asked me if I thought that the fact that it was difficult and that he was having difficulty with it was a sign that he should let it go and move on to something easier. And I asked him a bunch of questions, kind of like the questions that I just asked Flora, but after I asked the questions, it kind of was clear to both of us that in fact he was working on a perfect project for him to be working on. And he said, I could really feel that he meant it. He said, but it's hard. And I responded with a phrase that I first heard from a guy named Bo Lozov. I said, I know it's hard, but you can do hard. So, I mean, that's the thing. In my experience, we human beings, we're remarkably robust. You hear athletes talk about it. They talk about having more in the tank than they thought they did. That when they came to the kind of like the crucial point in the race or the last moment of the game, they were able to dig deep and find a strength and find a stamina that they didn't know they had in them. And similarly, it's in those moments in your everyday life where you're stretched to the edge of your mental limits that you discover that they were just that, mental limits, not real physical limits. And when you recognize your own toughness, when you recognize that you can do hard, that you have an ability to endure even the most difficult of circumstances and not only survive, but come out stronger than you were when you started, at that point, the world becomes a considerably less scary place. And when you stop being scared, that's when something really interesting happens, because you stop hiding from life and you begin to embrace it, and you begin to see challenging times and difficult challenges as toughness training. It's just opportunities to kind of gently push yourself over the edge of your world and discover that not only are there no dragons over there, there's no edge. I mean, literally, there's no there. There's no limits, or at least none that can stop us from living the life we really want to live. I remember years ago I did the Bill Phillips Body for Life Challenge. And it's one of those 12-week Transform Your Body challenges. And he wrote something that really struck me. I have here. Each week, he said, I will ask you to raise the bar another notch, to push yourself to a higher point. I'm not asking for your best effort. I want more than that. I believe your perception of what your best effort is may be a self-imposed limitation. I believe you are capable of much more than you realize. And now is the time to shatter those false barriers and discover your true potential. And I just put it much more simply. You absolutely can break through whatever you think limits you. You absolutely can achieve your goals. You absolutely can live the life of your dreams. Is that a little scary? You can do scary. Are you going to get frustrated? You know what? You can do frustrated. Will it be hard? I don't know. But if it is, you don't have to worry, because you can do hard. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Sandy in Idaho. Sandy, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I just talk about doing things the hard way. I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to call him. So I recently was divorced. Mm-hmm. It was a long process, 3 years, and lots of knowing it was the right decision, finally made the decision. Got divorced about a month ago, moved into my own home, and every day has been incredibly challenging. Like, furnace goes out the first day, sewer back up the second day, then this and this and this. I'm thinking, no, really, I've done the right thing, right? I mean, do I have to do it this difficultly? I don't understand difficultly.
Difficult? Yeah, no, we're all right.
I'm making up words now.
So basically, if I'm getting this right, and correct me if I'm wrong, you think the fact that a bunch of stuff has gone wrong with your new apartment might mean you made the wrong decision about your divorce?
No, I know I made the right decision, but okay. Why does it have to be so hard? I mean, it's just...
Well, it sounds like it's hard because you don't know how to fix a furnace. It's not that I want to take away cosmic consequences here, but there is a straightforward. It's like in medical school. I always loved that there's this medical school maxim. If you hear hoofbeats, look for horses, not zebras. And sometimes it's hard because you probably haven't had to do stuff like that before.
Oh, well, ironically, though, it's when it comes up, I say, well, I have a home warranty. So it's like, oh, I guess I call this. Oh, I guess I do this. And I think I'm doing all the things. I'm making the steps. I'm not feeling like I'm freaking out, but I'm thinking like, isn't it supposed to get easier after this?
Yeah. Well, how long have you been doing it?
A month?
Yeah, it does get easier. but you might need to give yourself, 2 months.
2 months?
You know, maybe even three. You know, this is the thing. We have this weird idea, right? That studies have shown that to develop mastery in any skill takes on average about 10,000 hours. Now, 10,000 hours for most people is going to be developed in a minimum of 10 years. Some people, if they work really intensely and full on at something, they can get that time down to 4 or 5. Now, it's not like you're crap and then suddenly you cross the 10,000 hour threshold and you're good. But 10,000 hours is considered to be the benchmark. And yet I have people all the time who come on my trainings and learn a new skill, and it doesn't work very well the first time, and they go, I'm not good at this. Well, why on earth would you think you would be? You've put in 12 minutes on something that would take 10,000 hours to master. Now, I'm not saying it's going to take you 10,000 hours to find living on your own easy. I'm just saying it might take more than a month.
I guess I was thinking it was the cosmic whack.
Right. And that's the thing is we do. We make up how it's our fault.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, and look, I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't want to take that away from you. If that kind of serves you to think that you're being punished, okay. That's not my experience. That's all I can say. That is not my experience. The universe is just not that mean. In fact, if anything, it just doesn't care. You know, the
good
reality
point.
Is, you know, stuff breaks when you don't know how to fix it. It takes a little while to figure that out. You got a warranty. Great. I remember, let me tell a little story on myself. When I first went down to college, I'd grown up kind of not having to learn any DIY. My dad was a great DIY guy. He was an engineer. He could build anything. And I sort of grew up never having to do any of that stuff. And I was in an apartment for the first time, and the light bulb went. And I sat there in the dark for about 5 minutes, realizing I don't know how to change a light bulb. And I like looked around the house, and there were no light bulbs. And I didn't know what to do. And it's like about 15, 20 minutes of kind of sitting and, you know, kind of doing a little bit of man crying, you know, because I didn't quite know what I was doing. I got in the car and I went to the grocery store, and I saw there was an aisle, and in the aisle there were light bulbs. And I remember the feeling to this day of putting those light bulbs in my shopping cart and going, I am a man. I was like 19, you know? I mean, I know for some people they're going, dude, I did that when I was 4. But for me, that's where I was at. That was
so
not
you're telling me to man up?
I'm telling you to man up. Cowboy up, Sandy.
I guess that's fitting.
All right. How's that? You're very welcome. Thanks for phoning
good.
In.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. I mean, look, we all have our things, you know. There are things that you have a facility for that you are good at. There are things that you do not yet have a facility for that you are not yet good at. You're going to have more trouble with the stuff that you're not yet good at, and that's okay. If you knew that it was going to take 3 months to pull something off, but you knew for a fact that it would come off at the end of the 3 months, wouldn't you feel differently about anything that you found difficult in that first month, knowing that it would ultimately succeed? Well, that's true in almost any endeavor. You get there by going there. You know, you prepare for it by doing it. And as you're willing to let it be hard when it's hard, not harder than it has to be, not adding in suffering, but just sometimes it's hard, then what you find is it gets easier and easier. And that's kind of the beauty of it. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Michelle in Florida. Michelle, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. This is Michael.
I am calling. I listened to what you were saying in the beginning, and I would like your help with the fact that I think I've manifested. I'm on manifest overload.
Okay.
And I mean this very sincerely.
Okay.
And it's been a couple of years that I've understood it, and that I've changed the way that I've always changed the way I think, but I made other changes and new changes. And so now I've got an awful lot of carts in front of my horse, and they're in a big old crash.
Okay. So can you translate that? It's a very cool image. And can you translate it into stuff? Give me some examples.
Let's say that I'm basically on a new career path. Excuse that phone if that beeps in your show.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I apologize.
We're good. So
I'm on a
new
career path that's, you know, taking old things and new things and blending them into the future. And then know that once that's automated, I have plans where I'm going to go next. They're all happening at once. So things I'm perceiving as after what I finish now are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And things I'm working on now just won't stop.
Okay.
And so I listened to your robot idea. And I'm working with a robot. I'm working with a robot here that helps me, you know, think through how to discipline and focus.
Yeah.
What else do you think?
Well, okay. So let me just play back what I've heard.
Okay.
Things are going really, really well, faster than I expected, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
Correct.
Okay. So
yes.
So here's what I'm not understanding yet.
What the problem is?
Yeah.
Because this overload involves so many things and so many priorities at one time.
Okay. So I'm going to start real practical.
Okay.
Okay. So if you have all these things and they're all going really well, who's helping you deal with them?
Me.
Mm-hmm.
And a higher power.
Oh, good. You've got a higher power.
A higher power.
You've got business robot. That's fantastic.
And I got business robot, too. He's not probably as good as your robot, though.
You know, I've noticed for myself that higher power doesn't do typing, doesn't
Correct.
Take dictation,
robot
and
does,
won't
right?
take out the trash.
Yeah.
Well, no, robot doesn't do that either. Robot's a great advisor. But here's the thing. I remember the day when I was on my way to my office and thinking about what I had on my plate that day. And I went, oh, I actually am no longer physically capable of doing everything there is to be done.
Correct.
And at that point, I went out and found an assistant to help me. Because there was no need for me to be the only one doing it. So here's the thing, Michelle. Go ahead. Will you stay on the line over the break?
I sure will.
Thank you. So, yeah, what I want you to think about over the break is, given that the obvious answer is get help, I want you to think about all your great reasons for why you can't do that. We're going to talk about them after the break. We're going to be right back with more thoughts on the hard way and more of your calls right after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about doing things the hard way in a way that really helps, in a way that's really supportive. And we're talking with Michelle. So, Michelle, if we're looking for horses, not zebras, and the obvious thing is I have too much to do would be to get help. Well, why don't you just get help?
Well, initially this has been going on. I've been working on this new plan for, say, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been unfolding at a pace I could manage.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing okay. And I tried to engage my home-based volunteers. That would be my son, who's 13, and my husband.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very interested in helping me.
Right.
So I've been that route, looking for inside help.
Yeah.
And then when it comes right down to it, today I'm not earning enough money yet to afford someone who genuinely participates with me, you know, who gets paid.
Right. So I want to challenge that.
Okay.
And the reason being that you don't actually yet know. So example, sometimes people say that they can't afford something.
Right.
But if they thought, and I'm not talking about like specifically to what you're talking about, but they'll say, you know, I can't afford to spend $200 on something. But if you knew for a fact, I'm not saying this is a fact, but if you knew for a fact that for every $200 you spent, you were going to get $400 back, could you afford it?
Yes.
Right. So this is the thing that people don't understand at first.
That's good
about
advice.
Getting help, is that it only looks like you can't afford it because you're basing it on what your income was before you had help.
Okay.
And if you figure out, what are the things that really don't need me? You know, which are the things that take up time but don't require my unique whatever it is that I bring mm-hmm. to the business? You know, this is a time where there are so many people out there who would be so grateful to be able to participate. You're not going to have a lot of people haggling over salary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to have to make, you know, ridiculous wage demands. There's going to be plenty of people out there who are going to be very happy to work for minimum wage. And who are going to be very happy to work for minimum wage without even being employees as sort of, you know, I forget what it's called, but independent contractors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you are going to be amazed. This I will tell you. You are going to be amazed at how much more creative you are, how much more you're able to do, and therefore how much more money you're going to be able to bring in when you're not spending all your time just keeping things ticking over.
Excellent suggestion, because with as long as I see those carts in a pile, it's got me kind of jammed up.
Of course it does. It would anyone.
And I'm trying to. And I know they're good. It's a good pile, but I'm it's a daunting pile, and so I am trying to figure out how to separate, divide, conquer. You know, do the right thing.
And so, in a way, in this case, I'm actually recommending the easy way, which is get someone to help you.
And as far as the hard way, the actual doing the work.
The hard way is
I don't mind doing the work.
I was going to say, I get that, because you wouldn't be in manifest overload if you did mind doing the work.
Yeah, and do you have any advice for how you stop manifesting, or do you just take it as it comes?
I have never seen a good reason to
stop.
To tell the universe, stop giving to me.
Okay. I didn't see one either.
I was going to say, if you've got too much, share it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
Michelle.
Something's
not right. Thank you so much for your advice. You're very welcome. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. This is just, you know, a basic thing. Very often, we get into the idea that we predict the future based on the past. But if you make a change in the present, then the future won't be just like the past. It will be different. Now, it's not automatically going to be better. But if you're taking action in the direction of what you want, if you're planting seeds, you're probably going to wind up with a garden. And if you're taking action in the direction of what you want, you're probably going to wind up getting there. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ron in Connecticut. Ron, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. I've been out of work for 20 years with a serious construction accident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 55 years old, and I'm tired of being where I'm at. And I'm going to start over again. And I'm manifesting things in my life. I'm getting some great ideas and directions to go in. But it's troublesome deciding which is the secure route, which is the proven highway, what's tested and proven.
Now, this may sound like an insane question, Ron, but bear with me. Why do you want to take the secure route?
I feel like I'm in being pushed for time because of my age and what I want to accomplish.
So, sorry, let me just make sure I heard you right. You're 105?
155, yeah.
No, you are running out of time.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So, besides
it seems like to start a new life over again and to take bigger steps for a future. It has to be done more carefully than a young person and create situations that you can back away from and start over.
You may know this story. It's an old story, but it's a story that I really like. And it's of a woman who's, she's standing in line to sign up for medical school. And she notices that, she's there with all these other, eager, bright young things. And she notices that there's this man in line who looks like he's, in his 60s. And she's like, just because they're going to be in line for a while, strikes up a conversation. Are you here for your grandson? The guy goes, no, I'm applying to medical school. And she goes, but I mean, no offense, sir, but how old are you? And he goes, oh, I'm 63. And she says, but you're going to be 70 by the time you get out of med school. And he goes, well, God willing, I'm going to be 70 anyways. I may as well be a doctor.
Yeah.
So there's an element to which you can make it up in a way. You can tell the story in a way that you have to be more careful because, you're older. But you can make up the story just as plausibly that says you don't have to be anywhere near as careful because you're already in your 50s.
Yeah, I've already done a lot. Yeah.
So that's the thing is, if you're gonna make up stories, and I'm not necessarily a fan of doing it, but we kind of all do it anyways. But
yeah,
if you're going to make up stories, you may as well make up good stories.
Yeah, you got it.
So here's the thing. What would you love to do? I mean, of the paths you're exploring, of the things that you might do, if it didn't matter for whatever reason, whether it worked out or not, what would you love to do?
Well, that's what I've been looking at. If I had a $10 million in the bank and I was going to die tomorrow and I had to do something today, what would I do? Probably spend the $10 million.
Right. So that's just a messy analogy. Pick a different one. You know what I'm saying is if it didn't matter because every job paid the same.
Yeah. That's I was in the construction business for 25 years before I got hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back into that field again. I grew up in a television radio family. I thought about going back into that again.
So I just want you to notice, Ron, you're not actually answering the question.
No, I'm not. I'm avoiding.
Okay, that's cool. But we're on the radio, so I got to push you a little.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's okay. But the question is, again, this is fantasy. I once worked. I may have told this story on the radio before, but I once worked with a known rock star, and he wanted to kind of. He decided he was ready for a grown up relationship, and I asked him to sort of describe it to me as if it was happening, and his description was like, well, you know, even though we've been together for like a year, we still have sex, and we only fight two or three times a week. And it was like, wow, that was the best that his imagination. It's like he was so sure that it was going to suck that that was the fantasy. I'm asking you to fantasize here, Ron. You can do anything. What do you want to do?
You know, that's the hard way. That's the hard part. I really don't know.
Okay, then that is the most important thing that you can do with your time for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Is just be with that question. And you don't have to get a definitive answer. You know, I talk, you can find, if you go through the Hay House archives or the archives on geniuscatalyst.com, you'll find shows where I talk about, you know, the sort of when people want to switch jobs, you know, flirt before you date before you move in together and move in together before you get married. You know, so you're not looking for the right answer. You're just looking for who you want to flirt with. You're just looking for, that's all. That's all you need right now.
Yeah.
And then as you flirt, you'll find some of the jobs you're flirting with are kind of more fun to be around than others. And those ones you might want to go on some dates with. And then you might find one special job that you actually want to make some commitment to.
Yeah.
But you're not going to know that till you start flirting.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to get out there right now. That's another thing I have to do is just get up and get out of the house and go somewhere.
Here's the great thing. You can do hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been doing hard for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess that you are stronger and or wiser now than you were 20 years ago.
That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
So that's the thing. If you thought of it as toughness training instead of, oh God, I've got to do this to get somewhere. You know, how would that change things? If you knew that you can do hard, you know, what would you consider taking on? And again, you've already kind of done it. You've already kind of done it.
Yeah.
You decided, okay, I'm going to do this. So now, you know, your homework's kind of easy. Your homework is to go flirt.
Yeah, it is.
And that's all you got to think about right now. You up for that? You up for some flirting with some job possibilities?
Oh, you got that right. I was born to flirt.
There you go, man. Flirt happy.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for phoning in. Let's try and we're going to try and squeeze in one more call. We're going to try and go to Zoe in Big Timber, Montana. Zoe, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
I've had ongoing problems with finding a good long-term relationship. I'm successful in my job. I'm not unattractive. There's nothing that I can tell that's wrong with me, but I just end up finding these people that are pretty unhealthy, and I go through all these struggles and try to make it work, and just end up not finding something long term and permanent.
So I've got to make the joke. Could it be that you're looking in Big Timber, Montana?
You know, it might be just Montana doesn't have a lot of eligible people. I don't know. I mean,
I don't either. I'm the only reason I even bring that up is because. You know, there are some things that are easier to do in a place with, 100,000 people than in a place with 1,000 people.
Right.
And I don't know Big Timber. I know Montana. And what I remember about Montana is lots of trees, not many people.
That is true. Yeah.
Okay. So that's I just want to put that out there. But even within that, What is it that you want a long-term relationship for? And that may seem an obvious question, but what do you think that being in a wonderful long-term relationship would give you that's missing right now?
I think, mostly companionship other than my dog and my daughter, the ability to enjoy day-to-day life, travel places, somebody to share the day with.
Okay. So so what have you been doing to create that relationship?
Well, I try to get out, I try to socialize. I let my friends know that, if they know there's somebody, available, worthwhile. I usually have a 3-date rule. Unless somebody's a total, total weirdo, I'll go on 3 dates just to see how it works out.
Right.
I'm really not sure. I was in a long-term relationship with my child's father, and he had some personal issues that he could not resolve.
So let me do it this way, because we're, we're coming up against the end of the show. I'm going to leave you with 2 questions, and you can just play with these questions and see where they take you. Okay.
Okay.
So the first question is a question I asked at the beginning of the show, which was, if metaphysics, positive thinking, and the law of attraction were all a load of crap, are you doing the things that are likely to create the result that you want to see? So that's question one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you putting in the hours? If you were accountable to a manager and your job was get into a long-term relationship, would they say, well, you're doing your job well?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay, great. So then here's the other question. If taking massive action was a load of crap, and it's all about the thoughts and energy you're putting out into the world, are you holding the kinds of thoughts and putting out the kind of energy that's likely to create the results you want to see in your life?
I think I'm doing that too. I'm being, really positive. I've one relationship that's kind of, friends with fringe benefits type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm just, trying to be real positive about it. I'm not sitting at home moping or anything.
Well, so then here's the thing, Zoe. It strikes me, it may just be, it's going to take 3 months instead of 1 or 2.5 years instead of 2.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if your head's really that together and you're out there, at least within what's possible in Big Timber, Montana, it sounds like you're on track, and every flower takes its own time to bloom. We gotta go. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're gonna be back with a new show next week. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you then.